Welcome to the Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show with Tony and Corey.
Built by Bar Lumber. Go where the builders go.
When it comes to big or small projects around the home, Tony and Corey have the know-how and the answers to make your life just a bit easier. Here they are, the hosts of Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show, Tony and Corey.
Hey, good morning and welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Tony and Corey, your Weekend Warriors. I'm Corey.
And I'm Tony.
And today on the show, we're talking about energy conservation and how to build a house to withstand all the elements and be comfortable and healthy and all of that good stuff.
Or how to improve your house that you're living in currently to make it more energy efficient, more, you know, just to improve the quality of life all the way around.
Quality of life. And isn't that what it's all about?
It's exactly what it's about.
So,
especially when you've got kids.
That's right.
Because they can't fend for themselves. So they have to breathe the air that you allow them to breathe in the home. So it's
right.
Your responsibility to make sure that they are healthy and get the best start on life possible. So we're here to talk about how you can make that the case at your home.
Yeah, and think of it like this. If you close all the doors and windows in your house and you're not a smoker and somebody lights up, it's, what do you think?
You're thinking, I can't breathe. Yeah.
So essentially, if you're not living in a healthy home, it's not the same, but it's pretty darn close.
Right.
All of that stuff coming out of the crawl space.
And the thing is, I think as homeowners, a lot of people will take for granted that their home is built well and that it's safe and they don't know any different, right? I mean, it seems totally normal, but there are things you can do to check around your home to make sure that you are in the best possible scenario. And if you're not, then there's things you can do to fix it.
Absolutely.
And so that's the case of someone who's living in a home currently. Then, of course, there's tips that we've got for people who are going to be building a home or who are planning a remodel. If you're planning a remodel, there's some things you can do to make your home a better, safer home. And more energy efficient.
Right. So in the studio today, for all of the contractors out there who are building, you'll want to pay extra close attention because we have a professional building scientist with us. Is that what you call yourself, Mark?
Well, not just a building science specialist, I suppose.
A building scientist. A building specialist.
Yes, so how do you explain the white coat that you're wearing then if you're not a scientist?
Well, that's because I have no life, and so I wear this. The pocket protector is what usually gives me away.
Oh.
You notice all those pencils in there, but that's the tip, yeah.
So we have with us Mark LaLiberte, who travels the countryside, talking about how to make a energy-efficient home and a well, what you call a high-performance home.
Yeah, I think part of it is what makes a house, and you hit most of those topics, is what makes it healthy, safe, durable, efficient, affordable to operate, affordable to maintain. Those are always kind of the fundamentals that a house should do. Should it be durable? Well, of course. I'm investing in it. I live in a challenging climate. We have seasonal changes and rain and all that stuff. How do you make a building last longer, be healthy, as you mentioned so eloquently? Yeah, a house should be healthy. And I think one of those indications is even something as simple as smell. You know, if you smell last night's dinner, that's a tip that maybe I don't have adequate air change rate. If you're going, honey, that we haven't broccoli again. You're like, no, that's the other day.
We haven't had broccoli for weeks.
Somehow I'm still getting that broccoli in. It's weird.
You go to a friend's house and say, I guess you guys have a cat. And you're like, no, that was the previous owner. So that would be another tip that there's something sticking around. So
there are lots of things to consider when A, building a new home, or B,
remodeling
your home, or C, just taking what you have, not necessarily remodeling, but there's small things that everybody can do that I think are probably very inexpensive or free.
Right.
That
somebody
kind of
retrofitting.
Yeah, retrofitting.
Yeah, just kind of tweaking a little bit. You know, little things that you can do that are low to no cost, or just observing things that can make a huge difference on quality of life, which quality of life is everything. It's kind of, we go to organic places and for farmers markets or whatever you do. Don't forget your house is the one place you can go. You can't control your environment at work or out in the road, but you sure can control it at home.
Absolutely.
And that should be your safe haven, you know, when you go there and you feel good at home.
Yeah, we talk about this on the show all the time. about things that you can do around your house to help it, you know, gain, what's the word I'm thinking of? Money.
Value.
Help me. Yeah, value. Sorry.
I know that's a tough word
for you. I've only had one cup of coffee.
I see. I haven't had any coffee.
Take it easy. So, yeah, improve. We talk about improving the value of your home.
Right.
And these are some of the things that I think are the most valuable, although a lot of people don't put value in them.
Yeah, well, it's also that we don't really teach ourselves or each other how to maintain a house. I mean, think if you come in to look in an existing house and you go, wow, the windows look kind of trashed at the bottoms, the caulking falling off, the siding looks in disrepair. But so few people really take good care of their houses because we don't really know how. We just assume
right.
If you just leave them alone, they're like maintenance-free, kind of like a car, which is, of course, maintenance-free, right? So we spend more money maintaining our cars on an annual basis than we do on maintaining our houses. You know, some people don't change filters on their furnace. Just the things that really matter should get done more often, and we don't really talk about that, which is what's so beneficial about the show, is to help people know what to look for to make my house better.
Yeah, and you think about that because you're driving in your car and a little light pops up and says, change me.
Right.
I'm your oil. I'm 3,000 miles old. Change me.
Right.
But okay. When you're in your house, you don't really know anything's wrong until there's a problem.
Right.
True, yeah.
You don't have any hot water anymore, or your furnace doesn't kick on anymore. So,
or the paint's tired. I mean, you imagine what we spend for oil changes. Maybe
right.
It's $40, $50 if you have it done at a shop, and that's every few months. How often do we put $40 to $50 every few months into our house, which is a substantially larger investment and something we really want to care for? So I think if you think about that, you can do it for less, but we should do something. And that concept of maintenance-free isn't real. So I think it's a good idea to learn more about that.
Yeah, and right. We're learning more about what's going on in our houses all the time. Like 10 years ago, I don't know, my time's never good. 10 years ago, you didn't hear people talking about, man, people are dying from mold and mildew spores that are in the walls or in the crawl of their home. But we didn't know that was damaging people or killing people until we knew. And then all of a sudden, wow, we got to do something about that. Staying up to date on what's dangerous around your home is a very important part
right.
Of
for
what
many
we do.
Years, everybody put asbestos in their house.
Yeah.
It was the best thing since Swiss cheese. And then yeah. They realized, oh, that's a carcinogen.
Right.
You know, or lead.
Right.
When they realized lead was terrible for you and started taking it out of the paint and thing like that. So you're right. Having people like Mark traveling the country and coming on shows like this and talking about some of these issues that people don't even know are there.
And offering solutions to make those situations better situations.
It's a good word.
Yes, solutions. We are solution-oriented right here on the Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show.
That's right.
And the first solution we're going to come up with is we need to take a break. So when we come back, more with Mark LaLiberté and building science and his white lab coat. You're listening to Tony and Corey, your Weekend Warriors.
Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show with Tony and Corey, built by Par Lumber. Now, here's Tony and Corey.
Hey, welcome back to the show, everybody. Thanks for staying tuned during the break. Today on the show, what are we talking about?
We are talking about life and death. Literally.
That's a little crazy. I mean, that's...
I mean, you know, it's out there, right?
I think we're talking about building science.
Well, they can go hand in hand, right? Health for your children and for yourself and for your close family. It's science.
It's poetry in motion.
Mark has blinded me with his science.
So, yeah, we're talking about building science. And Mark is what we have on the show today, Mark LaLiberté, who travels the country talking about how to make your house scientifically better, right?
And the result of making your house scientifically better is?
Healthier living.
That's right, healthier living. So again, life and death.
Well, it's even well. I'm always careful about the death thing. But I think in terms of life, it is important because general health is something that we're careful about. The water we drink, filtered water. Sometimes we'll drink eat healthier foods, and the air you breathe. We breathe about 9,000 liters of air a day in terms of normal human respiration, and we should be concerned about that. Is the filter in the furnace changed? Are we not smoking in the house and keeping the pollutants out? So all those things might not kill us, but they're probably not the best thing to do. So why would you be careful about your water? It doesn't kill anybody, bad water, but it's like probably doesn't contribute to your health. So that's kind of that balance there. We don't want to scare anybody, but we want to let you know that you can do a better job and improve your general health.
And how do you determine what? So, Corey, you're living in a home, right, that you've bought, and it's an older home, and you're listening to this show, and you're thinking, man, I want to make sure my home is safe. Where does somebody start? What is the first thing they're thinking about is the air that I'm breathing. How do you determine that the air that you're breathing inside your home is clean, good quality air? I mean, where does somebody start?
That's a good question. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, it's a really difficult thing to do, of course, because if you just reach out in front of yourself right now and grab a handful of air and take a look at it, can you determine anything about it, much less see it? So the catch is just that, can I tell if there's dust particles? You go like, well, if I dust the furniture a lot, that could mean that there's a lot of particulates in the air. Maybe that's pollen. Maybe when the spring and the fall come, I'm always noticing I've got a lot of allergy stuff. That could be about the air in the house isn't so great. It's not well filtered. They make great filters. At Par Lumber, you can find great filters to replace the one you have on your furnace and maybe upgrade that a little bit. A filter takes out what we call particulates, little stuff. But the better the filter, the better it removes. If you do that, change it often. The other part of it is just that if we assume that we get fresh air in a house based on either opening windows and doors, which we do a lot less often. The old days, we would open windows a lot more. Today, we don't open them so much for things like security and noise and rain, which rarely happens in the region of the country. But all those things, we tend to find ourselves closing up the building more than we used to. So if all those things were just fundamentally true, which we know they are, we just can assume that with a crawl space connected to the house, natural, normal lifestyle, couches, plants. They say that today we have more animals in our house than any time in history. You got a bird, a rodent in a cage. You've got two dogs and a cat.
And a daughter.
Add a son to that, you're done. Yeah, so. If you have all that stuff in the house, imagine that contribution to just general health. So if you provided ventilation, just some fresh air, could open windows do it? Based on the time of year and what's going on. But imagine you put your kids to bed at night and you shut the door. Now, if you've ever walked into the door of a teenager's bedroom after the door has been closed and they've been sleeping for 12 hours, that room is nasty, right? So how do I make sure that I somehow get the furnace or the air handler some way of getting fresh air into their room at the rate that they breathe, which is, I think, continuous is the rule I've heard. But I think it's kind of a continuous thing, not like we'll get you air like Tuesday.
Yeah. I don't know. My wife tells me I stop breathing every few seconds.
Yikes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a good thing to work on. Cures for that stuff. Yeah, it's good.
So, that's step one is making sure that your house is breathing properly.
Yeah, and again, that's a really hard thing to do. It's hard to find out where's my air coming from. We were talking on the break about what if my air is coming out of my garage? You go, is there anything in the garage you don't want in the house? You'd say, well, everything in the garage I don't want in the house.
That's why it's in the garage.
That's why it's in the garage. And so if you said, well, how about I think I'll take the air in the crawl space. That looks awesome. So just open the hatch, the crawl space, stick your head down there, take an incredibly deep breath and go, yeah, that's the stuff I'm looking for.
Yep.
And so if the garage isn't the one and the attic's not the air you want, it's got fibers and all that kind of stuff from your insulation, and I don't want it out of the crawl space. So if you look at those spaces, go, no, that's not the air I'm looking for. Then looking at intentionally supplying fresh air from a dedicated place outside, not where the dog kennel is or where the garbage cans are stored, really looking for a place outside your house that has some fresh air. Now, if you can't find one, you should probably move. Yeah. But if there's a place outside that you could introduce fresh air to the house, it can be done very inexpensively and simply, but it's something you should definitely consider. And again, it's an important thing to do. Just not assume that you get fresh air. Because as we're talking today about weatherizing and improving that, we were looking at saving energy, but forgetting about the air.
Right. So, the overall health. One quick thing. When I was in L.A. this last weekend, and they had smog warnings. So they've got these smog warnings of this horrible air, right, that you're not supposed to breathe. So they say, stay indoors.
That's right.
I don't get that. Yeah. I mean, you're going inside, so where's the air coming from?
Right. Well, I think that, you know, a lot of furnaces in a lot of homes have a cold air return that is in the hallway, upstairs or downstairs or somewhere. And so I think people assume that the air that's in their home gets sucked through that cold air return down through the furnace. It's purified. It's a lot of oxygen added to it. There's some, you know, they wrap it up in a little bow, and then it spits it back into your house, and it's perfect.
That's exactly what happens.
Well, when it goes through your magic. Your furnace, it's perfectly clean.
Yeah,
the furnace burns all the bad stuff out, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, so that's the thing. If your cold air return is inside the house, and your furnace is, who knows, maybe in the garage or inside your house, that's the same stale air just circulating back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. We need to get something from outside.
Right.
Exactly. Or we need to add a set of lungs to the house.
Absolutely. That's a great analogy. And I think the other piece is that most of our furnaces in this region of the country aren't in the house. They're in the garage or the attic or a crawl space, which are all the places that you really don't want it to come. Now, what are the odds that the ducts going to that return that you just mentioned are a little leaky?
Yeah.
So they're just doing an extra job of pulling in some kind of nasty stuff and bring that in. So today's newer houses and the new codes require that all the ducts have to be tightly sealed to prevent that air from being pulled in. So your example is perfect. The perception is once it goes through that wonderful little box on the wall, everything must be fine.
Right.
But actually, it's just recycling all the air that you just got done breathing is being brought to everybody else in the house. So the cough in the kitchen, just wait a minute, it'll be in the bedroom in a minute, is kind of what's really going on. So yeah.
The ducts you were talking about, do those also need to be in a row?
Yeah, they should be. And they should be waddling carefully and always be careful with them because they can bite if
so
you get too
funny.
Close to them.
Yeah,
he's a comedian.
So we're talking about air moving through the house. And now I get this all the time because we talk about, you've done that. You've designed your house. You've put the furnace in a good spot, say, inside the house. You're bringing in fresh air. But who's to say when that furnace kicks on, it's not sucking air now from all of the windows in your house?
Yeah, that
or
might,
the plate.
Well, that might be okay. The catch is that I want to find out how I can intentionally find good air, bring it into the furnace, run it through the filter to get out the particulates, things like pollens I don't want in the house, and then bring those to my children's bedrooms. And if I did that 10, 15 minutes every hour, that'd be awesome. Because as a continuous breather, I want to make sure that I'm always getting fresh air. The problem in this region of the country that's kind of mild and moderate is that the furnace and the air conditioner isn't running all that often. So if I depend on my furnace to move air around the building, that doesn't happen either. So the new technology really in this industry is to say, should the furnace blower come on a few minutes out of every hour, regardless of whether I need heating or cooling, just to circulate filtered fresh air around the house? Now, when I say that, you go, well, yeah, that's exactly what I would want. I'd want that my family to know they get fresh air, and that's basic.
That is basic.
That is basic.
When we get back, though, I want to talk about how many homes are actually doing that.
Fresh air is a requirement, if you didn't already know that. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Tony and Corey, your Weekend Warriors.